Here's the latest from Canadian lawyer, Law Times and Lexpert on May 26, 2023. I'm Steve Randall. In the Supreme Court of Canada's first consideration of BC's anti-slap legislation, the court has restored an order dismissing a man's defamation action. The court was split 6-1, and the majority found that the public interest in protecting one man's expression outweighed the limited harm it had caused another. The case dealt with the Protection of Public Participation Act, BC's anti-slap law, which is intended to give defendants to defamation suits a tool to dismiss claims that effectively chill free expression on matters of public interest. The ruling stemmed from school board trustee Barry Neufeld's criticism of education on gender identity and sexual orientation. Glenn Hansman, a teacher, publicly called Neufeld's comments bigoted, transphobic and hateful, and Neufeld sued Hansman for defamation. With the Supreme Court's decision, Hansman has been successful in dismissing Neufeld's claim under the anti-slap law. The decision set an important precedent for those who speak out in defence of the vulnerable and marginalised, said Robin Trask, who represented Hansman. But Paul Jaffe, who acted for Neufeld, said that the SCC's majority took a selective and results-oriented approach to the facts and produced an ideologically driven analysis.
I think that for those who fear that freedom of speech in this country is under attack, I think they can look to this judgment as a good example of that.
Election season is underway in Alberta, and the province heads to the polls on May 29th. Access to justice for low- and middle-income Albertans, the expansion of specialised courts, and court system modernisation are among the pressing legal system issues at play, according to the province's branch of the Canadian Bar Association and the Calgary Legal Guidance Society. CBA Alberta President Amanda Lindberg says that while legal aid is underfunded, access to justice would also benefit from some justice sector innovation.
At the end of the day, money is a big driver. Our system has been chronically underfunded, and it needs more in the way of financial resourcing. But there's also an opportunity here to be innovative. And I think that we would increase the efficiency of our justice system. We would increase the sustainability of our justice system if we also practice and engage in an innovative way.
Marina Giacomin is executive director of the Calgary Legal Guidance Society. She says that whoever forms government next in the province, they have a chance to make an impact on the justice system.
There's an opportunity, I think, here for whoever forms the next government to modernize our justice system.
Charles Morgan, a technology lawyer at McCarthy Tatro, spoke to Canadian Lawyer about how the pace of disruption caused by artificial intelligence has grown exponentially in recent months.
Every single sector is being disrupted, even Google is all of a sudden feeling threatened by Microsoft Bing, an AI enhanced version of Bing. So when a market leader that has been so dominant for so long as even Google is feeling threatened, or that like the ground is moving quickly under its feet, then there's a lot of profound change that is underway. And it's coming at exactly the same time that the regulatory environment for the use and deployment of artificial intelligence is also being fundamentally reshaped.
While the EU, Canada and the US have all begun drafting laws to regulate AI, they are still years away. But Morgan advises companies to work on developing norms now.
The risk of inappropriate use is too high. For companies' reputation, for the risk of liability, I think we'll probably see lawsuits shaping the law of AI even before we get an enforceable AI regulatory regime in place. And so companies are going to want to be very careful about managing those risks, because they don't want to be subjects of lawsuits. They also don't want to be subject of regulatory action.
As the importance of Indigenous law grows in Canada, it's a perfect time to move from associate to partner. And for Alexandria Winterburn and Zachary Davis, recently promoted to partner status at Pape Salter Tye LLP, it's also a chance to delve further into the many rich relationships that the firm has built with First Nation, Inuit and Métis communities and governments across Canada for more than 40 years. Davis spoke about the duty to consult.
I think that the duty to consult is misunderstood as a barrier. What it should be is an opportunity for collaboration. How do environmental assessments of projects improve because they take Indigenous experience on the land seriously? How do we restructure ownership of major undertakings to ensure that Indigenous people get a fair portion of the revenue that their lands generate? I think it is an overture to do business more equitably. It doesn't have to be a barrier to development.
Winterburn spoke about the legal system's role in reconciliation.
Law was always a bit at the root of all of the issues that were coming forward in our communities and in our nations today. And, you know, I saw things around challenges with the Indian Act and self-government and, you know, decisions being made or imposed by other governments onto Indigenous people. Harms like the residential school system, the 60s scoop, the ongoing child welfare crisis in Canada. And I started to see that law was really kind of at the root of all of those challenges. And I thought, well, if part of the problem, it has to be part of the solution.
The legal profession may take a bit more time than other sectors to adapt to new technology. But when it does, there is more confidence that the systems brought in will create the desired efficiencies, says Al Hounsell, Director of Strategic Innovation and Legal Design for Norton Rose Fulbright Canada LLP. Hounsell spoke to Canadian Lawyer about the current AI boom in legal tech.
One thing I feel is a little bit different with this explosion of startups is that there seems to be an excitement in the air among the practice, that the practice is very much aware of what's going on and the tools that are becoming available and that kind of thing, more than we saw in the past where we were really curating these in a way that is designed to promote the practice, to convince the practice and that kind of thing. There's just, this one feels a little bit different, but again, we are in that excitement kind of hype phase of this AI boom.
Closing Wroxham Road will not solve the underlying issues creating an influx of refugees, says Lev Abramovich, co-founder of Abramovich and Chern Immigration Lawyers. Under the Safe Third Country Agreement between Canada and the US, people seeking refugee protection must make a claim in the first of the two countries they enter. But before recent changes, this rule only applied to those making a claim at a designated port of entry, not to those entering Canada outside of an official border crossing. This carve-out has made Wroxham Road, which connects New York State and Quebec, a frequent site for irregular border crossings. In 2022, around 40,000 asylum seekers entered Canada through this route. While Canada has moved to close this option for migrants, Abramovich says the issues driving the demand for irregular crossings must be addressed through international cooperation.
The U.S. can take more refugees. There could be additional pathways for economic migrants. We can try to tackle human smuggling, various other ailments. What we're doing is we're saying you cannot come to Canada by way of this means, meaning through Wroxham Road, right? So instead, the same individuals who are going to come and be examined and present themselves are now going to try to cross irregularly with the help of a smuggler or in some other way, thereby putting themselves in danger.
Ask the average person what they think a sports law practitioner does for a living, and one of the first things that might pop to mind is how many zeros they manage to add to an athlete's contract during negotiations. And Julien Tricard, a sports lawyer with BCF Business Law in Montreal, gets it. He understands the focus and scrutiny that elite athletes' salaries get from the public. He's an ardent sports fan and told Canadian Lawyer that whenever a lawyer can practice in an area of law with a strong interest in the subject matter, it's always a great combination.
Having the combination of my practice into that field, it's obviously a great deal of fun. And it's also I think you've mentioned one of the potential interesting bits about sports law is the people we work with. And in my case, that is absolutely one of them. It's such an interesting business, sports, and especially in my case, team sports. You know, the all of the management, they're trying to build a competitive team to do one specific thing, which is build a championship. Mm-hmm. And there's no business that, you know, operates under the same mindset, I feel, as a sports team. So being in contact with management, understanding their process and how they try to reach that goal, and they're so focused on what they have to accomplish, it's definitely fun, and we enjoy our time discussing with them.
You'll find the links to these stories in the show notes, and to get the latest CL Talk episodes automatically in your favorite podcast app, just click follow or subscribe.